Warning! This podcast exceeds the Surgeon General's recommended limit of awesome! This is Nutty Bites.
We just set up the recorder so that the fans at home can listen.
Boo to the fans at home for not being here.
Yes, boo to the fans at home. And boo to anyone who's late, but we'll love them anyway.
Love them a long time.
Welcome, Mixed Nutcases! Very first live, not live on a Google Hangout, but live at Balticon, Nutty Bites. Yay! And for those of you in the audience who said, what's a Nutty Bite? I'm confused. I'm here because I like Terry Pratchett and Douglas Adams. Who doesn't? This is Nutty Bites. Nutty Bites is a podcast where I highlight things that are awesome, and I host geeky debates about geeky topics like, you know, who's the most ineffectual sci-fi character ever, what's the best lame superpower to have, and today, Terry Pratchett versus Douglas Adams. Who is your favorite humor specfic writer? And I chose the greats mostly because they are the greats. This is not adversarial in any way because, well, I love them both. So there, I said it.
And no fighting in the audience.
Yes.
We can't
and
do the death match?
No death match because one's already dead.
And unfortunately, the other
is working on it.
Yeah.
It isn't healthy enough to.
I can't. Take two, and I'll composite them later. It's all good. I got the Photoshop skills. So I also want to say, make sure you stick around. I do have prizes, and I expect a lot of audience participation. And you can normally find my podcast at nimlast.org. Okay, so let's start by introducing everyone. I am Noop Joss. Hello.
Hello.
I'm also known as Nutty because Noop Joss is hard to say and spell. With me, I have my resident co-host who comes on whenever he's around and I can drag him out of the computer room. Tech the Clockwork Doctor.
Hello.
You may have seen him walking around dressed as a plague doctor. Yeah, it's the same guy. And we have the lovely, the talented Christiana Ellis. She's also my co-host on Beyond the Wall, so, you know, a little in there. And we have Michael Plested, author, podcaster, scout leader, everything.
Yeah, idiot savant.
And I do believe we have more than 30% Canadian content on this panel.
We do.
Two Canadians, two Americans, but I live in Canada, so it's
so
kind of tipping the scales.
Oh my god, I'm outnumbered.
You're outnumbered, all right.
You win the dive.
Fight for us.
So let's see, who wants to start with their argument for their favorite author?
Didn't think we were arguing.
We're arguing.
Okay. Well, go for it. I can start this.
And I'll start by saying I love them both. But they're both very different.
Absolutely.
In that I only read Terry Pratchett, I only started reading him a few years ago, 2009, when I bought the first three books, devoured them instantly, got home, and all of the British movies and the miniseries that they've made for TV, inhaled all of those, absolutely loved them. But I grew up with Douglas Adams. Douglas Adams has changed my life. I forgot my towel in my room. I would have my towel.
You are not a hoopy fruit.
I am not a hoopy fruit, and I do not know where my towel is.
I forgot. I'm sorry. This is Rory. He's the podcast mascot. For those of you who listen, you know. For those of you who don't listen, you're like, she has fun with stuffed animals. But he is not just a stuffed animal. He's my dragon. So continue.
And now Rory's mad at me because I forgot my towel. But,
That wasn't creepy.
Douglas Adams has written for Doctor Who. He's written for Monty Python. He's appeared in Monty Python movies. He has written books that have spawned major theological or anti-theological movements. Even Richard Dawkins quotes him as an inspiration for his atheism arguments. The guy is an inspiration, and I wish I could be that funny. I have a list of stories that I want to write that I look at and go, wow, if I was smarter, I might be able to write this story. For now, I'll just stick with the outline. But Yeah, I grew up with Douglas Adams, and he's the number one for me.
All right. Christiana?
Well, so, again, I love them both. And also, I grew up with Douglas Adams first. I read Douglas Adams, what books were available in junior high, which was, I believe at the time, it was still only the first two, maybe fourth. But it was mostly the first three. And but then it was, I discovered Terry Pratchett in high school, and his work for me, although I loved Hitchhiker's Guide dearly and continue to, Terry Pratchett represented sort of a greater expansion of understanding of the world for me. And so it came at a time where I was really discovering more about the world beyond my own little neighborhood, and just the strange settings and the fascinating characters and the irony and satire really just, I think, was very formative on my worldview.
I definitely see some Pratchett influence in your writing, too. It's very obvious. If anyone's ever read any of Christiana's works, I'm sure you have. But I see some Adams, too. You know.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're definitely both there. They're both, you know, I'm steeped in them, you might say.
Like a fine tea.
I was just going to say, where can I get the Christiana tea?
Well, this is... minor sidetrack, but did anyone see Helen Madden, a.k.a. Cynical Woman's project in the art show? It was cruciate. It was oozlong. So it was a teacup with tentacles coming up out of it.
And we also happen to have the subject of one of her other pieces sitting right there. The Real Uncle Monster. My goodness. Listeners know that as an inside joke of the podcast. Michael, why don't you tell us about your love for these
My
authors?
Love? Well, I do love them both. It's almost the argument of which captain's better, actually, for me. But
neither of them are Janeway, so we're good.
No, that's true. That's true. I'm not going into that, though. I did grow up with Douglas Adams. For a while there, I read Hitchhiker's Guide probably at least once a year, the whole trilogy in however many parts. But
it's up to six, I think.
Yeah. Well, I don't count the newer ones as being true. He doesn't even really capture the tone.
I count the newer ones, but not the sixth.
Very good. I can live with that.
It's a different author. Yes.
Mm. However, Terry Pratchett, when I first... Actually, it's interesting. I bought my first Terry Pratchett in an airport, trying to find something to read on the plane, and it was The Color of Magic. And I got about four pages in, and I couldn't go any further. So I put it aside for about 20 years. And then I read Guards, and I read all of the Guards books that were current. And I discovered, much to my amazement, that I actually had Color of Magic in my library, and I reread it then. And I didn't hate it the second time I went at it. And I've kind of been transformed into a true Pratchett fan ever since. And as soon I'm always watching the interwebs for new Terry Pratchett work. So I know when I actually discovered that his writing days were numbered, I think I went into a short period of mourning. So, but having said all of that, I know we're comparing them as humor writers, and I'm not sure that that's what we should be comparing them as. They're both, in a way, satirists, right?
Satirists. That's a more apt description.
I think so. I mean, Terry Pratchett, his stuff is peppered with humor. But as Christiana was talking about, there is a lot of relevance into the real world. So you start reading this, and it doesn't matter what book you're reading. If you think about the world at large, you're going to find some parallels there. And I think that's Terry's true genius.
Well, and I think it gets sharper and deeper as the series progresses as well. It's interesting you mentioned about Color of Magic, because I think that, you know, as all good geeks, everyone's initial inclination would always be to start from the beginning of a series and read them in chronological order. But the first couple of Discworld books have their merits, and yet they are not really what the series later becomes, and
absolutely.
So they're not the best representatives of what the overall Pratchett library is.
Agreed.
I totally read Pratchett out of order. I don't even look up the order. It's just, oh, this one's nice.
I think once you get past Sorcery and Color of Magic, those two are the ones that are less like the others. Starting with Equal Rights and moving forward is when we really... It starts being more recognizable as the same Pratchett as the rest of the Discworld series, I think.
So, for me, I am... Douglas Adams is more than I grew up reading him. It's part of my culture. I tell this story a lot. It wasn't until I was in my late 20s that I realized it's not a common expression among most Americans. Don't panic, carry a towel. Because my family says that all the time. The Hitchhiker's references and Dirk Gently references are filtered throughout my childhood that it just makes sense to me. I am a huge audio drama fan. When I was a little girl, I would go to sleep with audio drama cassette tapes that I borrowed from the library and then copied and kept playing on one of those old tape decks, and I would go to sleep to them. I would listen to Sherlock Holmes and all sorts of other things, but I also listened to the BBC Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which came before the books and then came after the books. First three books were done in audio drama, then he wrote them, and he continued writing, and then in 1995 they went back with most of the same cast and recorded the following books. So that's my Douglas Adams. I have no choice. It's family pride now, you know? Adams is part of my growing up. I started reading Pratchett really late, though. Really late. Not until my 30s. And I, as I said, I've read them out of order, and I can't even tell you what goes where. But I have seen a lot of the BBC series as well, and they are amazing. I have a very good friend of mine that would often send me her favorite excerpts from Terry Pratchett books. So she and I happen to have the same favorite characters, which is something I wanted to bring up later, but I'm going there now. We have some of the favorite characters, so she would send me excerpts from the different characters. So I've read parts of books without reading the whole book because they'd be relevant to a discussion we had. And so for me, it shaped me, so it's going to be Adams. And I don't just think of him as, oh yes, he did Hitchhikers. It's Hitchhikers, the Dirk Gently novels, the Starship Titanic story, Doctor Who, as Tex said. There are so many things that he has done. Monty Python, which, again, part of my growing up and my culture. He's just filtered everywhere, and every time I find out that he was involved in something else, it just makes perfect sense to me.
So I had bought the Terry Pratchett novels in 2009 because I was going to Afghanistan with the Canadian Army, and I would read them at night to fall asleep. So I'm in a tent with 20 other guys trying to be very quiet. And Terry Pratchett was the first time I have dropped a book in laughter. I am laughing into my pillow. It's the scene where they're in the basement of the tavern, surrounded by oil drums, and the guy's looking for a light, and Death hands him the match. The guy doesn't even look over his shoulder. He just goes, oh, thanks. Don't mention it. Bang! I dropped the book. I'm laughing into my pillow. This guy's waking up. What's going on over there? Nothing. And I cannot help myself. And the next morning, I had to put the book down. I had to do something else. The next morning, I read it again, and I'm still blessed in the gutter. Death gave him the match. Awesome. But
he quotes that around the house all the time.
The problem, well, not the problem, Douglas Adams was the first sort of mind-blown moment, and is one more important than the other? No, they're both very important moments in your reading history. When you have to drop a book because you can't, because you're laughing too hard. But when he proves that God doesn't exist by proving that he does, because you jam a fish in your ear, and it just, how absurd is this? Am I reading the book upside down? I turn it upside down, it still doesn't make any sense. Then you read it again, then you put it down, you go for a walk, you grab a bite to eat, you come back, and you read the three pages again. And it still doesn't make sense. And then it does.
Yeah.
And it makes wonderful, glorious, beautiful sense that God doesn't exist because he does.
My favorite part about that is using that line and discussing that with theologians and ministers and things like that. And I've had two responses. Now, you were kicked out of a padre's office for that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just kicked out of a padre's office. I'm so proud. Whereas I've had, you know, several different reactions up to the other side of that, which is a Roman Catholic priest saying, exactly, and this is how we understand faith. And it makes perfect sense now. I should add the caveat that that particular priest was part of my growing up and did say, don't panic, carry a towel, and so long, and thanks for all the fish. So,
well, it's, you know, the idea of initially blowing your mind, like, that's something that was true for me, too, with Douglas Adams, because I think reading him, when I first read him, it really did blow my mind in the sense of science fiction can be funny. And, like, that's simplistic. You know, like, that is like, oh, well, okay, yeah. But at the same time, it was deeper than that, too. It was the idea of invisible walls that existed in my head and just having it pointed out just so effortlessly, like, those walls aren't really there, you know.
You can put peanut butter in your chocolate and it does work.
Yeah, you know,
ooh.
And so,
spoilers, you'll get that later.
It's, you know, it's actually funny because, you know, I had pulled up a post that was actually from a Discworld novel, Equal Rights, but it kind of illustrates what I was just talking about here, which is if you ignore the rules, people will, half the time, quietly rewrite them so that they don't apply to you. And so that's kind of what I'm thinking, too, is that, you know, I think before that, I would have sort of said, well, I suppose you could write science fiction that would be funny, but I don't know, is that, would that really be the same? And then, of course, he just kind of blows on by at 50 miles an hour and is like, oh, okay then, all right, I guess that's allowed now, so. And so, again, like, it really is both for me, but, like, so it is, you know, one was the initial, oh, all of these new things are possible. And then, you know, practically it was like the follow-up of like, okay, well, let's now start to refine that. Like, where do we go now from there? And that's how it kind of worked for me.
So are you saying that Adams is your bachelor's and Pratchett is your master's?
Mm. Sure, why not?
I really only have a bachelor's.
One other note, though, that hadn't even really occurred to me until just now is you mentioned the audio dramas for, or like the TV specials for Discworld. And I actually have not watched any of those. And it's something that's a little bit unusual for me because generally speaking, I really enjoy seeing my favorite stories adapted into other mediums.
Really? I'd never guess that from hosting a show about Game of Thrones with you.
Well, and usually I am not in the remote bothered by the idea of making changes to benefit the strengths of whatever medium you're adapting the story into. And yet, for whatever reason, with the Discworld books, I have this reluctance to watch them because I'm worried that it'll mess up the way it lives in my head.
Let me tell you this. The scene with Death and the Match is even funnier.
Well, no, I believe that they're great. And I'm not
fantastic.
Even ruling out that I will watch them some point. I'm mostly just having kind of the personal realization that I behave differently with that property than with really any other that I'm aware of, and I sort of hadn't even really put it together like that before, but I think it just speaks to how kind of personally I hold my enjoyment of them.
When Christiana told me that this the other day when we're in the lobby, because of course we can't stop ourselves from talking about things, I realized I do the same thing because I have not seen the BBC TV show Hitchhikers because I'm afraid of the same thing. And again, I just like her. I don't need to say everything she just said, but same thing, different franchise. One thing that I was thinking of, and it just occurred to me as Tech was talking about the Babelfish, how many things can we say outside of fiction have been influenced by these authors? For instance, Babelfish. Does everybody know the program Babelfish? Trillion. Do we remember Trillion? These are from Douglas Adams. Are there more that we can think of? Mm. Are there some that were named for Terry Pratchett's stuff?
Mm. Well, see, I feel like, generally speaking, probably Adams's work is more iconic in the idea of having specific things that that live beyond the works themselves. It's whereas Pratchett, I feel like, is for me at least, it's more of an overall worldview than, say, specific examples.
Isn't there a Linux distro called Two Flowers?
Oh, you know, you might be right.
Could be.
I think there's Linux distros named Rincewind and Two Flowers.
That would make sense. And you know what? Those are awesome. I want to install those now.
Yes, named from, you know, the character. I'm forgetting the continent name, but when Rincewind in, I believe, The Color of Magic goes and visits him, and then later in Interesting Times, he's a more major character.
The Counterweight Continent.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Thank you.
Made mostly of gold.
Right, which is why it's known as the Orient.
Yes. Yes.
Actually, it's not made mostly of gold. It just says the gold is about...
It's very prevalent, that's right.
So now I'm going to ask, favorite character or element from your favorite author? And let's start with Chet. Favorite character or element? And you can do both if you want.
Marvin.
Go ahead, say it.
Oh, great, and I'm stuck on this planet with a manically depressed robot. Could be worse. What if you were the manically depressed robot?
Darn, now I'm like stumped. You know what? Honestly,
there's so many.
There are so many.
Eddie, the shipborne computer. Hi, guys!
Hi, guys. You know what? I think I'm going to have to go with the sperm whale and Virginia.
Not again.
Not again. And that is actually one of my prints now. I have a painting of that. Christiana?
So are we doing just first Adams and then first Pratchett?
We'll do Pratchett, and
okay,
we'll come back and do the other side.
With Pratchett, I mean, like, again, with either, there's so many, but I think Susan Death is one of my all-time favorites.
Yes.
In particular, just her attitude that she's going to go on insisting that the world should be the way she thinks it ought to be, you know, in the face of any evidence. And it's not just about ignoring the things around her, but it's also just about kind of, you know, quietly going to just proceed with knowing what she knows to be right and not worrying too much about whether other people agree with her or not.
Fantastic. Michael?
Well, there's several in Pratchett's. Vimes, of course, is one of my favorites. Carrot, just because he is, you know, so clueless about being so awesome.
Yeah.
Death, of course. who else? I would say, actually, a surprising one is Sergeant Detritus. Specifically in the book where he was stuck in the cold locker and became a genius. He goes from being a stupid rock, pardon the slang, to where he's actually this highly intelligent silicon-based life form.
Well, yes, their brains are silicon pathways, and they
That's
run
right.
better when they're cold out in the normal air. They're overheating all the
but
time.
He didn't finish the equation.
I know. Those are some of them. I mean, I love the witches. I love.
It's like picking your favorite children, right?
Absolutely. You got to look at which storyline you're actually reading, and Susan Stolat.
I realize
awesome.
You say that
yeah.
to a man whose son's on his shirt.
Corporal Angua
sure.
is also great. The werewolf,
yep.
werewolf
yes.
member of the Ninth Watch, or not Ninth Watch, City Watch.
City Watch.
City Watch.
Yes.
Yep.
So now, Tech, other author.
Well, for Pratchett, it's got to be Death. I wish I could remember the names of the characters in the books that I've read in Pratchett, and I'm sorry, but Death, by and far, of the ones I've read and remember, is...
He's got some of the best one-liners.
Oh, yeah.
See, now, everyone said Death, so I can't say Death, even though I love Death, so I'm going to have to say Atooine. Atooine, the giant turtle.
The star turtle.
That is the Discworld.
Let's see, from Adams... It's not even so much just Zaphod as a character, but especially the moment where he gets plugged into the machine that's supposed to give you ultimate perspective, and it tells him, well, of course, you're the most important person in the universe, and he's just like, well, yeah, I knew that. I don't see what the big deal is.
The total perspective vortex.
Yes.
Of course, that turns out it's fake, but...
Well, but as far as he's concerned, like,
yeah.
You know...
What do you expect with a guy whose brain is powered by lemons?
I would have to say definitely Marvin. Marvin, in his depressed state, has some of the best lines, I think, in all
Wait,
the books.
Wait, in his depressed state? As opposed to what?
Yes. Exactly.
The mattress planet's pretty great, too.
Do you flibble? Oh, I love the mattress.
I must tell my friend Zem.
Which one? They're all named Zem. It's happening again.
It is. It's happening again. Well, you know, I think I want to give out some prizes.
Ooh.
Break up the debate with giving out some prizes. And what I'm going to do is I am going to ask the audience, what should I ask them? Should I have them give us some favorite quotes?
I'd like to see who's carrying a towel, actually.
Yes, who has a towel?
What?
A towel.
A towel. Huh? Well, that's a scarf. That counts. All right.
Everyone's doomed.
Yeah.
Do you
or
like
doomed-ish.
Chocolate, ma'am?
Like
as far as I can tell, there is no Linux distro named either Vincent or Tubal.
You're wrong. The internet says so.
There's something geeky computer related with those names. I've got to find it. I'll find it.
You may come up and get a chocolate that is filled with peanut butter. All right.
Unfortunately, I'm not really into peanut butter, but I have friends who are, so...
Okay.
Rory, come off the table.
Rory!
Rory's not doing away.
He's drunk.
He thought it was his cave. Rory, watch.
Rory, you're drunk. Go home.
Okay. Now, let's see. Can we get a quote, favorite quote, from either of the books?
Series,
whatever. Ben?
From Pratchett. I don't remember the exact quote, but it's when they're talking about, what great science we're doing. Of course, the most important thing we need to know, what is the sex of the turtle?
What is the sex of the turtle? That's the most important thing. And since you mentioned sex, you've got a towel.
It's not a retroactive prize. You can't come back for the
got a couple
one.
Of hands back there.
All right, who? This lady right here.
10 miles over the madness horizon and accelerating.
Excellent, and well, let's keep giving out towels. That didn't make it. That one had more swing. All right, gentleman in the back who had his hand up before.
Those were the days when men were men, women were women, and small fuzzy things from Proxima Centauri were
small fuzzy things from Proxima Centauri. Somebody please hand the man a towel. You.
Don't be afraid, Arthur Dent. Be very, very afraid, terrified, Arthur Dent.
And the young man in the white shirt.
What I don't get is why no one's mentioned yet. What is the meaning of life, the universe, and everything? And of course, the answer is 42.
Yeah, you might find the answer on your towel. Uncle Monster. Oh, sorry.
How many escape pods are there? Zero. Did you count them? Twice.
And who did we have over here? This.
You've been weather-waxed.
There we go. And I saw another one.
From one of my favorite characters, Slarty Bartfast.
Slarty Bartfast? Told you it wasn't important. I'm sorry. Good. I'm sorry. You have to pause.
I'm sorry. I'm not good at threats.
Exactly. You'll have to excuse me. I have uncontrollable quoting. Can you say it again clearly?
You will be late, as in the late Arthur Dent.
Thank you. I did not mean to speak over you. It's just uncontrollable. All right. And that's it on the towels.
Oh.
But we've got more prizes.
A car.
That will still chuck them at all of you.
No. But, yeah, the car is in the here. Let's see, I'm going to actually, let's see. Show of hands for people that actually listen to my podcast regularly. Okay, let's see. What is one of the most used words on my podcast?
The.
Shut up, most overused words on my podcast. Come on.
Awesome.
Thank you, Uncle Monster. Come get your sticker.
Sticker.
Anybody have anything that you want to make the audience do?
Oh.
I've got more ideas, but I don't want to limit it to just me.
Or you asked the wrong
make
person
the
that question.
Yeah,
you really did. You really asked the wrong person that question. Dance for my... No.
I'd like them to all buy my book.
Yeah. I would like them to all buy everyone's books. Yeah, first person to stand up and dance gets a Nutty Bite sticker. I believe that was a Pope. She is fast, man.
Hand out all three.
All right, who else danced? Hand out all three?
Yeah, I think so.
There you go. There you go. All right, let's see. What is the best way to make somebody a better fighter in the Douglas Adams universe? To pump them full of adrenaline?
Read Vogon poetry at them.
No.
They will run.
You know, if you were in the audience, you'd get a sticker for that.
Give them a towel.
You already got a sticker.
Well, you could always let them fly, although that might not make them necessarily a better fighter. Also, the best way to do that is belief, wherein they just sort of step off and don't think about fall.
Right.
Yeah.
Just forget to fall.
Yeah.
See, and you'd get a sticker for that, but you already got one. What was your answer?
Is it just to pump them up with adrenaline?
Tell me your answer.
What's the rating on the show?
I can believe anything else.
I don't know. Just foreplay with Eccentrica Columbus.
Get a sticker for that one. I was looking for break an arm, cause disfigurement, you know.
The triple-breasted horror of Erotic on 6.
But only foreplay.
I think I was getting a little too obscure, so let me go with something a little bit easier. Who is the most intelligent creature on Earth?
The mice. Yeah.
Both of you get it.
Yeah.
All right, and Christiana, can you ask a Terry Pratchett question? Because I just realized I have been doing this for Adams the entire time. I'm sorry, my bad.
All right, let me think of a good one here. I mean, there's so many. I'm just trying to. So let's see. What is Vedinari's definition of democracy?
One man, one vote. He's the man. He's got the vote.
There you go, you. Man, now you have a sticker to match your bumper sticker. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Hugh is the winner of last year's Balticon contest for Nutty Bites. He brought the oldest science fiction book with him to Balticon, and he won for that. So now we've got all these chocolates. Who likes Han Solo? Rather than Carbonite, would you prefer him in chocolate and peanut butter?
Of course I would.
Could you pass that around to anybody interested?
A little harder to recover from that hibernation sickness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? You get to chomp on Harrison Ford, so hey.
So why are they chomping on chocolates?
Yes.
Harrison Ford or old Harrison Ford?
Han Solo.
Okay.
Harrison Ford.
Why are they chomping on chocolates? One of the big tests I've always felt in people I always trust and respect are the people that work at your local bookstore. If you haven't been to a bookstore in a while, you just visit a website, go to a bookstore.
Yeah, those are those things that are like stores go past the coffee shop, then go past the DVDs, and then the toy store. And you might find these things with paper in them. I think we've got some examples of them there.
So, when I went into the bookstore to buy my first copy of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the lady at the counter looked at the book, rang in the purchase. I was in my early 20s, and she asks me, oh, are you replacing your copy or buying this for a friend? I says, no, I'm just about to read it now. And she beat me with it. Why haven't you read this yet? Go home now!
I believe that's one of my favorite stories, and I fully support her beating you with the book.
So, maybe this is just I don't know, maybe this is why Douglas Adams wins for me. Maybe it passed the bookseller test. When I went to buy the first three books at the bookstore of the Terry Pratchett series, and I put them on the counter, the guy behind the counter goes, is this any good? I hear it's awesome. He goes, well, what's it like? I go, well, I hear it's a lot like Douglas Adams in that weird sort of satirical, irreverent humor. And he goes, oh, I don't read funny books. I beat him with the book.
I think
clearly he was lacking a sense of humor, and we shouldn't shun him for being disabled in that way.
Slapstick.
Can I just say I never want to hear his poetry because I think he's a Vogon.
So if we can't shun him, what can we do?
Feed him to Rory.
Pity him.
Yeah. So, any funny stories about trying to turn people on or get turned on by?
When I was in high school, I was on the speech and debate team. And
let me guess, the debates were nothing like this.
Well, it's not only debate. You know, that's one of the events, but my big event was actually interpretation of humorous literature. And the idea of that event, what you do is you take a selection from a play or a book and you perform a 10-minute cutting of it. You do all the characters, no props. You're not allowed to move your feet. So basically you stand in one place and you do all the character voices, and if you feel like doing effects too, you make them with your mouth, and that's the idea. And so is there any wonder why I went from that to podcasting? But anyway, in my senior year, I finally, you know, had graduated from, or, you know, doing only the recommended cuttings or the ones that everybody did. Neil Simon was a popular choice in that event. I mean, I'm not criticizing Neil Simon at all. He's awesome, and that's why everybody did Neil Simon. And so I did a selection from Moving Pictures. And in particular, it was a lot involving... oh, God, I'm blanking. This is terrible. Sells the sausages. Yes, Dibbler as the movie producer executive guy, and so that was the selection I did, and I loved it so much. It was the favorite piece that I ever did. But what I discovered is the effect that it had on, you know, the results that I would get in the competition is that. Whereas, you know, most cuttings I would get a fairly even distribution. But what this would turn out to be is one-third would say, what is this? Mm. One-third would say, okay. And then the third would say, oh, my God. You're kind of young, but will you wait for me?
That is fantastic.
You polarized the judges.
Yeah.
Do I have a story about how I tried to turn people onto it? Well, I do love Douglas Adams as well as Terry Pratchett, and I certainly don't think I'm smart enough to write Terry Pratchett, but I thought I might be smart enough.
Letter.
I thought I might be smart enough to try to do Douglas Adams, sort of. So I took on upon myself the role of writing my own Hitchhiker-esque story and podcast it. 20
there
episodes.
There are so many references in there.
Yep. 20 episodes over 40 weeks. So I decided, and for those of you who don't podcast, never do this at home. For those of you who do podcast, you'll know how insane I was. I was writing a 4,000-word episode and podcasting it full cast, although I was the cast, with full audio effects every 2 weeks for 40 weeks.
Wow.
I did do it. I'll never do it again. I'm not sure how successful I was, but that was my attempt to capture some of the magic of Hitchhiker's Guide, because as you were saying about the BBC...
Tell everybody what show it is?
Yeah.
It is. I will. I will get there.
Okay.
So the actual podcast is called Galaxy Billies, and it is a mashup of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy meets the Beverly Hillbillies. Yes. Yeah, try to wrap your mind around that one.
Tell them about the contest, and then please answer for me how many entries you had in it.
Are you talking the Become a Hillbilly name, that contest, or...?
The one where people had to point out all the Easter eggs and references
yes.
to other sci-fi.
I actually did a lot of Easter eggs in it. There were one or two Star Wars, I think. Just one or two. I don't remember how many entries. I didn't get very many people who got even close to all of them. But I did put the Easter eggs in every one, and that was my attempt to not only capture the magic, because as you said, BBC, the story goes, and I could be misquoting, but the story goes that Douglas Adams was tasked with writing an episode a week, and he had audio producers create it every week, and he had no idea from 1 week to the next what he was writing about, which is some of the eclectic joy of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. You kind of bounce all over. Well, that's what I did with Galaxy Billies. I had no idea where my characters were going from one episode to the next. So they went all over the place. And Hillbillies in space just struck me as being a perfect foil for the story. And, of course, throwing those Easter eggs in.
Yes. I heard in an interview once that Douglas wanted to destroy the Earth at the beginning of every episode.
that was his original goal for the series, was to write a series of unrelated short stories where the Earth blows up in every single one of them. And so he wrote the first one and then stuck with it, and then we got stuck with it. We got stuck with. Aren't we lucky?
Earth 2 is all it's cracked up to be.
There are so many references that I would like to bring up, but I'm seeing that it is 8:42, and I really want some audience participation. 42. I want to... Yes, exactly. So that's the time we turn things around to the life, the universe, and everything. Actually, no, the audience. So I would like questions, comments, anything. Raise your hand. Man in the back.
What's your favorite inanimate object?
Ooh.
From either sphere, from either.
It changes, but I'm thinking currently swamp smelling mattresses.
But they weren't inanimate.
Once they were dried and tanned? Oh, yes. And they just smell of swamp.
Now you got me, huh? Forms.
Yeah.
That need to be filled out in triplicate. There we go.
Yeah. I got to say, CMOT Dibbler's sausages.
Yeah.
Those
aren't inanimate either.
I don't know if it's inanimate. See, this is the problem. The best things aren't actually inanimate, but the chest, two flowers chest.
The luggage. Yes, exactly. That was actually the first thing that came to mind. But exactly, it is. It's quite animate. I think my choice is actually. Not even necessarily Death's normal scythe, but there's one where he had to kill a regular scythe. He had to make sure that it would get killed so that he could use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
Superman.
Yes.
Yeah. I finally remembered something one day, and it's been named after Terry Pratchett.
Yes.
It's a fossil turtle that we're digging up in Australia, and it's really big. and they named it Terry Pratchett Art.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
And, but, yeah, yeah, that is just awesome. That's the word. Did we get the, yeah, you said the answer for that.
There is also a Tier Nutty Og hedgehog breed.
Nice.
And the town in Somerset, Wincanton, is twinned with Ankhamore Pork. It's the only place in the Guinness World Records to be twinned with a fictional town.
That is fantastic. JRD?
She's having
a... Oh, I'm sorry, wait. You can wait. I'm sorry.
Sorry about that. Thieves are the best judge of merchandise. I read in some newspaper that Terry Pratchett is the most shoplifted wonder in the UK.
Are you kidding?
No, I've heard that too.
That yes. is so cool.
He's very proud of that fact.
That is so... I had read somewhere, and it's one of these things that... Is it true? That the Bible is the most stolen book ever.
That's what I heard.
I think it must be the hotel.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, it makes sense, because until you've read it, how do you know?
Exactly. JRD, you may speak now.
If 42 is the answer, what's the question?
I'll get back to you in about 7 million years. So.
Yeah, he's got to build a computer that can ask the right question.
What is 6 times 9?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It actually so, works in like base
13. It's base 13.
I wanted to share that you guys were talking about the moment that you realized this book has had an impact on my life. For me, the Douglas Adams, when he's talking about how the people that can get elected are unfit for the office.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about that
office.
Earlier today at the cookout. And yes, you're right. That's exactly true. Those that can get elected are not the ones who should be in office. And those that should be in office cannot get elected.
Yep.
Anyone else? You, sir.
Well, just out of curiosity, what's your favorite, like, one-time character in either of the books, like only appears in that one book.
I like the philosophers. It's not like one guy, but the philosophers from Pyramids, because it's a classic philosophical paradox. But the idea is, if you fire an arrow at a tortoise that's walking away from you, it's like, if you think about it, in theory, by the time the arrow gets to where the tortoise was when you fired it, the tortoise has moved a little further. By the time the arrow gets to that point, the tortoise has moved a little further. And by the time it gets to that point, it's moved a little further. So, in theory, it should never hit the tortoise. And yet, they keep firing arrows at tortoises, and it hits them every time, and they just can't figure it out.
Love it. Love it. I'm thinking the prophet Zarquan, because he's always talked about, but then finally he shows up at the restaurant at the end of the universe.
There's too many of them. Oh my god!
Just pick one.
Deep thought.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, that's you. You said you
that's
needed to build it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I'm trying to think of a Pratchett book that's really a one of, and Pyramids is the one that keeps coming to mind.
Small gods is also kind of isolated.
That's true. Wow, the one-time characters, those are never the ones I remember. Honestly, there's too many that are recurring that just overshadow those.
Yeah, I'm forgetting the name, but the dwarf member of the band in Soul Music, who is such a bad haggler, he always...
Glad.
Yes. And so he's always trying to negotiate for the band, because clearly he's a dwarf, he should, but then he's constantly coming back saying, after haggling, we have a worse deal now than what they originally said.
Yeah. Nice.
In So Long and Thanks for All the Fish, Wongo the Sane, whom I remember distinctly because he's the only character I've ever heard of that has been described of as an amalgamation of different sized David Bowies. In essence, it is David Bowie.
You know, I can believe that, and I have no problem with that.
Wasn't that the one voiced by Christian Slater in the radio edit?
Oh my.
Yes, that was Christian Slater.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna go with Hugh because he had his hand up twice.
If you had to have one object from any of these series, like the luggage or the heart of gold or a pan black girdle blaster, what would you have?
I'd have my towel because I forgot it. I wish I had my towel.
Oh. You know, honestly, I think I'd have to go with the Babelfish because I've always wanted to be able to speak every language.
Or understand them.
Yeah, but I can speak it too, can't I? Oh,
only,
no, they need a Babelfish.
They need the fish.
Then I'll go with the Heart of Gold. I mean, infinite improbability drive is awesome.
It's not really a thing, but I would like my own death of rats.
I want Binky.
Laura?
This one's actually for all of you guys because I, I'm sad to say, I've never read anything from these two authors.
Ah, well. See,
where's the book? We need to hit her with it.
Here, no, see, the thing is, it's like nobody's perfect, and thankfully, there is a road to perfection. All you have to do is read the books. You now have the opportunity.
Yes.
So, so is your question where to start?
Yes, the question is where to start.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the first book, is just over or just under 100 pages. You can read it on the toilet in a, you know, a short book. I'm telling you, it is a really quick read. And
you read around
100 pages? Yeah, because the first book in the series is quite short, and then the rest sort of grow from there. When you buy the trilogy in five parts, it comes out about yay thick. But, the trilogy, and the last one that came out is book 6 of 3. But it's really, really short read, and you will fall in love with it.
And I'm going to disagree with Tech right there, and I'm going to say, listen to the audio drama, and then
start
reading
the books. That's
easier
for me.
Yeah, and they're actually available free for download somewhere on the BBC. That's where I got mine. Can you help us for some Discworld?
I think, as we were kind of saying earlier, the first two in the series are a little less representative. They're a little harder to get through. They're drier compared to some of the other ones. I think once you get past the first, like, three or four, pretty much I think from Pyramids on, almost really any of them is going to be great. There are lots of different... like sub storylines that go throughout the series, and so like there's some that are the City Watch, which are like the police in the big city of Ankh Morpork. There are some that are about these no nonsense witches, and Rincewind, the wizard with the worst luck in the world, and
he has no magic.
Yeah.
No, he knows one.
He knows the one.
Most important
spell. Well,
yeah. There's some that are focused on death.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the more recent ones, like Going Postal and Money.
Mm-hmm.
Those.
Soul Music is one of my personal favorites.
Yes.
I think that one is. It's kind of, I think, at the tail end of the first half, so to speak, if I recall the sequence correctly. But that's a good one. It has lots of music parody in it. You know, in particular, at one point, you know, we've got a metal band that's just trying to figure out how they can be popular because they've invented rock with rolls in music.
Okay.
And so... one of the guys has been ordered to get them leopard pants, but instead he buys a leopard.
I knew that
and
was coming.
His bandmates are trying to explain to him the difference between what they've asked for and what he's delivered. And but then they're trying to make the best of it. It's like, well, I don't know. We could have him on stage. He maybe like would he bounce? You know. Dances the music a little bit or something, and it's like, well, actually, he's deaf.
That is excellent. So we've got to wrap this up, but this lady had her hand up for quite a bit. Did you have another question? No? Yes?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, actually, this is sort of roundabout. I was wondering what you think Victor Tubelban did for a living after the book. He's a one-shot character.
I don't think I remember.
It's for Moving Pictures.
Victor.
He's the
hero? Okay.
Yeah.
He's
I don't know.
Hero and you forgot him?
Well, he's the main character. I haven't read that one in a long time.
But you wrote a debate thing on it.
It was a long time ago.
The answer,
I think what he does
life.
Is he goes to a lot of the you know the Stolat Dikan And he signs at autograph tables where there are not very many people in line.
Yeah, whatever he doesn't have to work at it very hard.
Excellent. So just a quick close-up, everyone. I'm going to ask you to say your website, Twitter handle, no more, because we really got to get out of here. But I want to thank my panelists, and I want to thank the audience. You are all great. We're going to start on this end of the table.
You can find me at either irreverentmuse.com or michaelplested.myspelling.com. My Twitter handle is really boring. It's mplested.
ChristianaEllis.com at ChristianaEllis.
Who did that? I hear tea in the background.
You can find me on Twitter at TheClockDoc, separated by underscores, or you can find me, I have a column on nimlast.org.
And nimlast.org is where you can find Nutty Bites, and I am Noopjaws. You don't know how to spell that, so just go to nimlast.org. You'll find all the contact information there. Thank you, everyone, and go on, be awesome, and sack that movie. Oh, and you can find Rory at Rory Says Roar on both Twitter and Facebook.
So any Pratchett fans who haven't heard about the North American Discworld Convention, come and see us at our round table.
Oh.
He will be coming.
There's a Discworld Convention. Go to the fan table. Is there a website?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's the website for the recording?
NADWCON NADCON.
I gotta go.
Welcome to the interwebs, home of everything. Would you like to try the new Fruity Oaty Slusho?
What do you want? A podcast?
What kind of podcast?
Give me one with affable hosts talking about geeky things they do.
I want one with geek-related news.
Anything else?
Let me see. How about a podcast with sometimes interesting topics or celebrity interviews?
Yeah, let me have the one with the fitness tips, the one that talks about patio books, maybe the one that talks about upcoming cons.
If you want all of that, why not get a combo?
You have something that has all of that?
I wouldn't offer it if we didn't.
Is that possible?
Is that legal?
You want This Weekly from GeekRadioDaily.com.
What's that?
A running gag.
So what is This Weekly?
It's the sometimes weekly podcast with stealth geeks who talk about their week, geek news, and it features looks at patio books, fit club, and con updates.
I don't know.
One of the hosts is a woman.
Oh, really?
With a sexy voice.
So, Geek Radio Daily has forums for geek talks, an active Facebook and Twitter page, and the award non-winning sometimes weekly podcast. All this and more at geekradiodaily.com.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlast Studios. You can find us at nimlast.org. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlast.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 unported license. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.